I'd better be getting along, said Lupine.
What's it like being a wereman?
Said Windle. Lupine shrugged. Lonely, he said.
Hmm?
You don't fit in, you see. When I'm a wolf, I remember what it's like to be a man, and vice versa. I mean, sometimes, right, when I'm wolf-shaped, I run into the hills in the winter, you know, when there's a crescent moon in the sky and a crust on the snow and the hills go on forever. And the other wolves, well, they feel what it's like, of course, but they don't know like I do. To feel and know at the same time. No one else knows what that's like. No one else in the whole world could know what that's like. That's the bad part. Knowing there's no one else. Windle became aware of teetering on the edge of a pit of sorrows. He never knew what to say in moments like this. Lupine brightened up. Come to that. What's it like being a zombie?
It's okay. It's not too bad.
Lupine nodded. See you around, he said, and strode off. The streets were beginning to fill up as the population of Ankh Morpork began its informal shift change between the night people and the day people. All of them avoided Windle. People didn't bump into a zombie if they could help it. He reached the university gates, which were now open, and made his way to his bedroom. He'd need money if he was moving out. He'd saved quite a lot over the years. Had he made a will? He'd been fairly confused the past 10 years or so. He might have made one. Had he been confused enough to leave all his money to himself? He hoped so. There'd been practically no known cases of anyone successfully challenging their own will. He levered up the floorboard by the end of his bed and lifted out a bag of coins. He remembered he'd been saving up for his old age. There was his diary. It was a 5-year diary, he recalled, so in a technical sense, Windle had wasted about, he did a quick calculation, yes, about 3/5 of his money. Or more, when you came to think about it. After all, there wasn't much on the pages. Windle hadn't done anything worth writing down for years, or at least anything he'd been able to remember by the evening. There were just phases of the moon, lists of religious festivals, and the occasional sweet stuck to a page. There was something else down there under the floor, too. He fumbled around in the dusty space and found a couple of smooth spheres. He pulled them out and stared at them, mystified. He shook them and watched the tiny snowfalls. He read the writing, noting how it wasn't so much writing as a drawing of writing. He reached down and picked up the third object. It was a little bent metal wheel. Just one little metal wheel. And beside it a broken sphere. Windle stared at them. Of course, he'd been a bit non-compos mentis in his last 30 years or so, and maybe he'd worn his underwear outside his clothes and dribbled a bit. But he'd collected souvenirs and little wheels. There was a cough behind him. Windle dropped the mysterious object back into the hole and looked around. The room was empty, but there seemed to be a shadow behind the open door.
Hello? He said.
A deep, rumbling but very diffident voice said,
"It's only me, Mr. Poons."
Windle wrinkled his forehead with the effort of recollection.
"Schleppel?" he said.
"That's right."
"The bogeyman?"
"That's right."
"Behind my door?"
"That's right."
"Why?"
"It's a friendly door."
Windle walked over to the door and gingerly shut it. There was nothing behind it but old plaster, although he did fancy that he felt an air movement.
"I'm under the bed now, Mr. Poons,"
said Schleppel's voice from, yes, under the bed.
"You don't mind, do you?"
"Well, no, I suppose not. But shouldn't you be in a closet somewhere? That's where bogeymen used to hide when I was a lad."
"A good closet is hard to find, Mr. Poons."
Windle sighed.
"All right, the underside of the bed's yours. Make yourself at home, or whatever."
"I'd prefer going back to lurking behind the door, Mr. Poons, if it's all the same to you."
"Oh, all right."
"Do you mind shutting your eyes a moment?"
Windle obediently shut his eyes. There was another movement of air.
"You can look now, Mr. Poons."
Windle opened his eyes.
"Gosh," said Schleppel's voice, "you've even got a coat hook and everything behind here."
Windle watched the brass knobs on the end of his bedstead unscrew themselves.